Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll talk about who could be Miami's next reclamation project. Maybe Carmelo Anthony.
Then we'll talk about what the Heat could get in return if they decide to trade Goran Dragic. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back. I write for the Miami Heat's Tip-Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and allyoucaneat.com. Cover the league at large for Fansided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at TRomillo13.
We have a ton of mailbag questions to get to, so we broke it up into two parts. Part one went up earlier this week. You can go find that if you haven't listened to it already. But we have a few more questions to get to. Let's start with this one from WaitaBio on Twitter, who asks, who could be the next Heat reclamation project? Mario Hezonja, Nerlens Noel, etc. I mean, we could talk about those two guys as an idea. Those would certainly be reclamation projects. Anybody else stand out to you, David? Do you want to talk about one of those guys?
Well, Hezonja, I think, is an interesting name. I know a lot of Heat fans have seen potential there, but, you know, there's a reason why he fell out of favor in Orlando. He just wasn't very good. He's still too wildly inconsistent. It almost seems like that confidence, that, let's be honest, that arrogance that he came into from Europe kind of did him a disservice, because as much as it might have seemed like, okay, this kid's ready for the big time, he really wasn't. Orlando and Scott Skiles may have broken him a little bit, but the reality is he just wasn't very good. And that's why when we talk about the draft and everything else, you never know where you're going to get, because so much of it depends on the makeup of a player, their personality, their fit on the roster. You know, he came in there, and although he may have played the two guard, he's probably best suited now at the four, you know, somewhere in between. There's no natural fit for him, and he just doesn't excel at any one particular area. And that's why Orlando didn't extend an offer to him, and he's an unrestricted free agent now, despite only being in the league for 3 years. So, you know, he's a guy that has some potential. He can score from the perimeter. He's got some moves around the basket, but he doesn't tie him all together, not nearly consistently enough for my liking. So I could see him being one of those guys that Miami is able to help focus. They did scout him extensively in Europe before the draft, so there's a fit there.
He'd be a fit in their lineup, too. I mean, he's a 6'8 perimeter guy who could theoretically space the floor if they can kind of, you know, correct all these things.
Yes.
Could he start at small forward for Miami? I mean, they have a need there, right, for length on the perimeter.
Well, what does Miami pride above all else, though? That's defense.
Defense and work ethic, yeah. And low body fat. I don't know if he's on this.
He's lean enough.
Yeah, he is.
But at the same time, that's the thing, though. They could get him. Maybe he's hungry. Maybe he's interested in proving himself.
I think they like to take these guys who have been bad defenders and make them average defenders. Look at Wayne Ellington, Gerald Green from a few years ago. I mean, these are guys that they've taken all the time and just been like, look, you've been dog poop on defense for your entire career, we can make you less dog poopy.
Like, well, I've got another name I could throw in there as well.
Please though, do.
I'm thinking Rodney Hood.
I'm glad you brought that up.
He's restricted free agent. Mm-hmm. I can't see. He struggled in Cleveland, regardless of whether LeBron signs there or not. It seems that with the number 8 pick in the draft, the Cavaliers are probably going to get stuck with one of those maybe second tier wing players that we talked about in our previous podcast. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get a transformative type player there, but at the same time, probably something they need to develop, and it's not going to be Rodney Hood. So I was there in Orlando during the regular season in November when he exploded for 31 points, and he hit like 7 straight 3-pointers off the bench, and it was just, you get a taste for it. And I know Utah fans would say, yeah, but you're only going to get a taste that's once every 10 games. And clearly that was the case in Cleveland as well. But I think they just didn't know how to use him. And that's not a knock on Quinn Snyder or on Ty Lue, but maybe Miami might be able to get him a little bit more focused. He's still a young player. I think he's been through enough inconsistency and never really found his role. But he's a guy that might be able to take another step. And he brings offense that Miami clearly lacks off the bench.
A guy like Rodney Hood would be, you know, if he can hit his ceiling, like if he could projecting what he could be, would be the perfect fit for Miami to start at small forward. We're talking about a team that has to start Josh Richardson, who is a two guard at the three. Like, ideally, you can move Richardson to the two, play Winslow at the four, and then have a guy like Rodney Hood who can get his own shot off, you know, create his own looks, hit some contested jumpers. You can have a guy like that who might be able to pan out as even an isolation scorer in the future. You have somebody like that at 6'8", at the three, give you more length and just sort of fill the gaps where that Miami was lacking last season. I love the idea of Rodney Hood. You can get him on the cheap because, I mean, his performance combined with his attitude in the playoffs, I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of teams rushing to give Rodney Hood a long-term deal.
He's a mid-level exception kind of guy, right?
I think he is. I think he's an MLE-type guy. And if you're Rodney Hood, you're looking at things like what Miami has done with Dion Waiters, with Wayne Ellington, with these guys. And maybe you're saying, that's where I want to go because they're gonna you know, get me on track or not. I don't know. But I like the Rodney Hood idea. I want to throw another one at you.
Okay.
Former Rodney Hood teammate Dante Exum from Utah. He'll be a restricted free agent, so it'll have to. They'll either have to relinquish his rights, or more likely be maybe like a sign and trade type situation. If I like the idea of getting Dante Exum, who played really good defense against James Harden, in the playoffs, has a lot of development to go on offense. You know, has dealt with some injury concerns. He basically missed his entire sophomore year and almost half of the next season with a torn ACL. But we're starting to see him bounce back. And he only played in 14 games this year, but because he got hurt again. But it does seem like this is the time maybe to buy low on Dante Exum as he starts to get healthy. We know it takes a long time to bounce back from a torn ACL. So if he can... If you buy low on him, maybe sign him to a long-term contract, and maybe it starts paying dividends
I think Miami kind of doesn't mind positioning themselves as a potential launching pad. They're like, come here for a year, see if we can't get you to that next level, and if you decide to stay, that's fine, and if you have to leave, you have to leave.
I like his fit with the Heat, too, because he's a 6'6 point guard. He was drafted in, like, the top five, right? Yeah, I mean, this is a... he was drafted fifth overall in 2014. I mean, this is a guy who has a ton of athleticism when he's in condition. You know, when he was coming out, people, you know, lauded his ability to play make, run the pick and roll. His basketball IQ is really high. None of that went away. It's just that he hasn't been able to be on the court, right? So I love the idea of bringing him in as a backup. A backup point guard who can contribute right away defensively, and you could sort of mold offensively. That's the kind of buy low candidate that Miami, without having the draft picks, without having the ammo to necessarily pick anybody in the top five, you're able to get a guy like that and buy low on him, and maybe he pans out later on. Like, he's probably never going to be a superstar, but the talent is there for him to be good. I like the idea of a guy like Dante Exum as a reclamation project. I think it works.
I agree. A couple other names here I was looking through. Nick Stauskas, if Wayne Ellington leaves. I thought about it too. I don't think anybody was with Wayne Ellington either, but he's a guy who can shoot. He's a 40% shooter from three-point range. Maybe you find another way of unlocking some...
On the same token, Doug McDermott, similar type of situation.
Yeah, that's a good
maybe a little bit more size than Stauskas. Maybe play some stretch four for you off the bench.
How about Josh Huestis in Oklahoma City? A guy who was a draft and stash there. I mean, he's a good defensive player. He's got length. He's got all the tools. Just not very polished offensively. Donovan, not necessarily known for helping take guys to that next level. But he just hasn't proven that at the NBA level. Maybe Spoelstra can work some magic there. And here's a bigger name, Jahlil Okafor. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Jahlil Okafor is primed for a bounce back year. You heard it here first. I don't know where he's going to do it, but he's coming back. I think he's a great reclamation project.
How much weight would he lose in Miami?
He's already lost a bunch of weight.
Right. He would drop another 30 pounds.
He would be on the no pancakes program.
That sucks.
And I don't wish it on anybody, but if it means getting like a multi-million-dollar payday in the future, I could live without pancakes for a year. Yeah. No, not a sacrifice I'm willing to make. He's got the post moves. He could be like a bench scorer for you. I don't know that Miami is the best fit for him, but I think he's going to have a bounce back year next year. I like the Ja Okafor fit somewhere. Jabari Parker, does he count as a reclamation project?
No, he's too high a draft pick and too talented, I think, at this point.
What about Michael Carter-Williams?
Oh, MC Dubs. You know, I'm not quite sure what's left there that we haven't already seen. What is this, his fourth team already?
Rookie of the year, Michael Carter-Williams.
That's right, and rather dubious honor, but yes, rookie of the year.
We talked about it before we started recording the show about MCW, and I told you that I'm on the MCW island, and you mentioned that it's not. I don't think that it's big enough to be an island. So I'm on the MCW lily pad all by myself. I don't think anybody else is here with me. But look, long point guard. He could defend the point of the attack well. I think there's a lot of value in today's NBA. That is a rare skill set. I mean, you look at what Marcus Smart is able to do for Boston. I think Michael Carter-Williams in the right system, like, would be able to benefit from something like that. I think that look at where he's been.
Sean Livingston or something.
Great. I think there is value for guys like that. And I think Miami is a great spot for a guy like Michael Carter-Williams. You bring him off the bench. Like, Steve Clifford loved and raved about MCW last year. I mean, look, he can't run your offense. Yeah, he's not going to space the floor
so
for you.
Right now.
And Steve Clifford is unemployed right now. But not the best resume. But look, I think he's got a skill set that is extremely rare. I mean, we're talking about Marcus Smart, Ricky Rubio, Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry to an extent, even though his defensive abilities have waned a little bit the last couple of years. But that's really the end of the list as far as guys who can just defend the point of attack at that level. And Drew Holiday, Rajon Rondo. Those are the guys. Those are the guys. And I just, if you can get one of those guys for the cheap and maybe make him a reclamation project, all I'm saying is I'm on board. If Michael Carter-Williams is the backup point guard, I think there are worse things.
Yeah, you just need a team willing to make that investment. I mean, I'm looking at the comp there to Sean Livingston. It's not bad. Livingston, obviously not a good shooter. Carter-Williams is a much better shooter than that. It's just getting somebody to get him to fine-tune whatever he can do. And
his field goal percentage is better than Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Let's go to this next question from Marcus, speaking of reclamation projects. Marcus, our Patreon supporter, writes in, "I know Carmelo Anthony is the worst, but hear me out." But hear me out. The Heat have the right players, but the wrong contracts. Trade OKC's pick of James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Deion Waiters, and Tyler Johnson for Melo. Maybe some future draft picks. Make sure that Jay Rich, Winslow, and Bam are untouchable. Just take Melo being Melo for a year. And if we can dump Whiteside in the next 2 years, maybe a big free agent will bite. David, I know we've talked about the idea of Carmelo Anthony in the past. I know that you are very firmly against it. I've got to be honest with you. I think I change my mind every single day. I really do. And if we got Melo on the No Pancakes program, I think he would be better than he was in OKC. I just don't know what that looks like. How much better? I don't know. And at the same time, does it even matter? Because if the goal is to, if OKC would take Tyler Johnson's contract, I think you do it in a heartbeat still. I don't know that that would necessarily be the case. But if, then all you have to do is trade either Dragic or Whiteside, and bam, you've got, not Bam Adebayo, and boom, suddenly you've got cap space in 2019. That could be major long term.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at it from two perspectives. So there's absolutely the long-term potential to clear up salary cap space in 2019. That sounds attractive. Whether or not you can actually wind up using that salary cap space is fine. That's a question for another day. Now, what immediate value can Carmelo provide? You know, that's tough to say. And that's, you know, to me, I agree with you. I think there would be some benefit. But judging from, look, you've talked to him. You know, he's a really solid guy. I know he's portrayed somewhat villainously and by the media of late. And his comments at the end of the Oklahoma City season kind of show a lack of self-awareness there. And he, you know, he may not be willing to make those changes. We're talking about coming to Miami, and you've got to buy in here. And I don't know that he understands that buy-in is necessary, nor is he willing to make those kind of adjustments to his lifestyle in order to prove that he still has something left. He's still confident, and erroneously so, in what he has to offer. And so that's a problem. I mean, like we just talked about, as far as reclamation projects are concerned, there needs to be a hunger level there. There needs to be an understanding that they have something left to prove. And that's why they buy in, because Miami can help transform them as players and as people so that they can reach that next level. I don't know that Melo is willing to make that adjustment.
I don't know either. You know, I don't know either, but let's look at it another way then, right?
Okay.
Pat Riley calls up Sam Presti. Sam, listen, your bench submarined your postseason. We could talk all day about Paul George and Carmelo Anthony not making shots or Russell Westbrook taking too many of them, but at the end of the day, your bench didn't do anything for you. You need to bolster your backcourt. I will trade you Tyler Johnson and Deion Waiters and help you get off of that Carmelo Anthony deal right now. You've got your bench backcourt is answered for the next 4 years. You don't have to, or next 3 years. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And you've got the guys to back up Russell Westbrook. Deion Waiters could be a spot starter for you. He could be bench scoring for you, whatever you need. You obviously need more. And Deion Waiters is not going to cower, you know, to Russell Westbrook's power, right? He is going to, you know, up his own game, and he's not going to be afraid to take shots away from Westbrook, which could be a good thing.
Right.
And more importantly, we take Melo off your hands. So Melo goes to Miami. Miami no longer has Tyler Johnson or Deion Waiters, so there's a spot now for Dwayne Wade. Would it be the worst thing in the world to just see Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony, banana boat buddies, just play together in one lousy season together in Miami for just one bad, like, they're not going to win a lot of games, but it'd be kind of fun to just watch them play together and just watch them get along for a year.
Can we get LeBron James too?
Harlem Shake 2.0, yeah, maybe something like that happens. Yeah, maybe we can get LeBron
if he's
too.
Willing to take a minimum level deal to play for Miami, I think it'd be worth it.
Would it be the worst thing to just watch Melo and Wade just like shoot the lights out for 182 yes. game season, and then yes, the Heat have a high draft pick in 2019 in cap space to rebuild with?
Yes, it would. Okay. I still think that running back this team with a healthy Deion Waiters and potentially a more engaged Hassan Whiteside still makes this a very good 50-win team, and you know, unfortunately, we just haven't seen it.
Well, Carmelo Anthony might not be a superstar anymore, but we'll talk about which superstars would fit the Heat the best after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, we've got a Goran Dragic trade idea later on, but let's get to this next question from CJ, who asks, which superstar available via trade or free agency this summer or next summer do you think fits the Heat the best? I like this question, David, because now we don't have to talk about salary cap. We don't have to talk about possible trades. I don't need to log on to the trade machine. Which of these superstars that we think might become available, right, would just be the best Miami Heat player? So let's maybe name some candidates really quick, and then we could maybe pick and choose the ones we want to talk about. Kawhi Leonard. Sounds Kawhi cool. Leonard is the number one guy, right? LeBron yes. James, to an extent, is out there. He's available.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, Kemba Walker, CJ McCollum. Am I missing somebody? Paul George.
For this year, you mean? Just similar, just for this year?
This year and next year. This summer and next summer.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, I don't think either of us are going to talk about him that much. I think those are the guys this summer, at least. Let's start with this summer. Who do you of that group? I think it goes without saying LeBron would be the best fit, right?
Or Durant, right? He's an understudy.
Yeah, I think he's
not going
anywhere. Yeah, I don't really count him.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to just go with LeBron James. I think, honestly, I think Jabari Parker.
Okay. I mean, Jabari Parker would be an amazing fit. But is he a superstar?
Yes.
Is he a guy you think a team could build around?
Well, you know what? No, you're right. He does not fit.
Some people think he is.
He's got the talent. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like what we've seen of his personality is that he's just not ready to handle that leadership, and he's, you know, he's very young, so at this point he just might not be ready. Maybe Miami is the team that could help him reach that level. He's certainly got superstar potential on offense, and maybe Miami can help him develop defensively so that he can reach that two-way definition that I think makes a lot of superstars. Is he kind of the guy that can also take over the scoring load and can get buckets for you when you need them in clutch situations?
He thinks he is. Look, I love the fit Jabari Parker in Miami. I think from just a fit standpoint, again, he's not the superstar player that we're really talking about here. But since you brought him up, If the Heat can somehow find a way to sign and trade for Jabari Parker, no, it's not going to be a Hassan Whiteside for Jabari Parker straight up. That ship has sailed. Like, we still get questions about that. It's not happening. The Bucks are not that stupid. But if the Heat can somehow manage, like, a Kelly Olynyk plus another contract, right? Maybe that gets them thinking. You get a third team involved possibly to offer them an expiring contract so that they make some maintain some cap flexibility this summer or next summer, they being the Bucks. If Miami could somehow manage to get Jabari Parker, I think that is a perfect fit for what Miami needs. A guy who can be an isolation scorer, carry the load offensively, and we talked about reclamation projects. I mean, the Heat, if there is a team in the league that can get Jabari Parker healthy and conditioned the right way, it's the Heat, right? I love, and they are in a position to maybe take a chance like that. But let's, as far as superstars, I know you've talked about Jimmy Butler a lot. He's going to be a free agent next summer in 2019. I think you like his fit in Miami.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's the kind of guy that would make this team. I mean, he's willing to take that shot. He's capable of doing so. He embraces that work ethic so completely that he just seems like he was built in a laboratory specifically by Pat Riley as far as what you want on this roster. So to me, he seems like a guy who would be a perfect fit. He becomes the face of this team instantly. There's a rapport there with Dwayne Wade. I mean, it would be a great natural fit, I think. So, I mean, I would love to see that happen, but I think there's a loyalty to Tom Thibodeau there, who may not have a job. Who knows? Let's say maybe if he doesn't get the most or make any kind of adjustments next season, he doesn't get the Timberwolves with their young core to that next level. There's already talk about blowing it up and maybe shipping Karl Anthony Towns elsewhere. So maybe Jimmy Butler leaves Minnesota as a free agent, comes to Miami, he could make this team his.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. He will be a little bit older that season in 2019. You know, I don't want to take the easy way out, but Kawhi Leonard would be an incredible fit in Miami should he be healthy. Look, I think it's a big enough market, but not a huge market, which I think is what Kawhi is maybe looking for. And then what he could do defensively, you pair him with a guy like Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow. Holy crap, Miami's defense goes from, you know, 10 or 11, wherever it was, probably one of the top three defenses in the league, and that's not even counting whoever else is on the roster. So, and his ability to become an isolation scorer, get his own shot off, and space the floor, he's an extremely efficient three-point shooter, as we know, would be the perfect fit for Miami. But that's kind of, again, that's also like saying LeBron would be a great fit in Miami. Obviously, these are, when Kawhi was healthy, he was an MVP candidate. He was one of the top three guys in the league. I like the idea of Kemba Walker. I think his skill set would be really good. His ability to run the pick and roll, get to the basket. He's a little bit more aggressive than Goran Dragic, has more of a upside than Dragic, and is a really good three-point shooter. Like you're talking about with Jimmy Butler, willing to take that shot. He's just a little bit more dynamic. He can carry the load for you offensively, like we saw when Kemba Walker was on the floor for Charlotte. They had a top 15 offense in the league. It was when he was off the floor that they were so bad. I think Kemba Walker on a really good team could be even better. I mean, I think we could see a tremendous growth from him. I love the idea of Kemba Walker in Miami.
Would he have a good natural fit alongside Hassan Whiteside, do you think?
If we're daydreaming right now, Hassan Whiteside's doesn't live in South Beach anymore. this whole question is just an opportunity for us to daydream and fantasize. And when my fantasies never involve Hassan Whiteside.
I'm just thinking, I guess you'd have to trade Dragic perhaps to Phoenix, as we discussed in a previous podcast, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what you're going to trade to
get some assets back for Dragic, and then move those assets to Charlotte for Kemba, and maybe take one of these like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or Nick Batum contracts off their hands as well. It would have to be something like that. Yeah,
it's an interesting possibility. I'd like to fit too. I'd hate to trade away Dragic, but at the same time, if you get a good player like Walker, who I think is underappreciated, he's a little smallish.
Yeah.
So maybe there are concerns there too, especially defensively.
But his fit to Josh Richardson would be perfect, right? Josh Richardson could be like the Klay Thompson to his, you know, to his Steph Curry.
Yeah, but there's that 30-foot, you know, three-point range that he doesn't have. But, you know, it's not that he's a bad three-point shooter. He certainly added that to his game. I just think you're probably going to want somebody that's a little longer, a little rangier, maybe a John Wall. That seems much more likely and along those range. I think We've talked about this before as far as a Wall fit there. I think you soured on the idea of John Wall in Miami.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay. Yeah, so I think he's a better quote-unquote fit, and I think he would be available at some point this summer because I think they'd be looking to move him and shift more towards a Bradley Beal-driven offense. So given his skill set and his length and his ability, I think he'd be probably a better fit for what Miami is looking for. And again, that would be an impressive defensive team. You talk about Kawhi, you get a guy like John Wall on there. Again, John Wall, Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo. You've got a really long, rangy, switchable type
defense. If John Wall decides to play defense, he's like the Serge Ibaka of point guards. Like, we just think he's a good defender.
Oh, that's, I know that's really insulting.
Can I tell you my dream player?
It does not include either Whiteside or Serge Ibaka. I know that
CJ McCollum from Portland. I'm still not buying that the Trailblazers are going to break up that backcourt, but if they do, I would love CJ McCollum in Miami. I mean, if you're looking at a guy who can, if the Heat are in a position, right, where they've sort of got to buy low, relatively low on somebody who can be better than where they're at in their current situation, McCollum is a great candidate for that, only because he's got to share the floor with a guy who's probably going to finish in the top five in the MVP race in Damian Lillard. This last season, or for his entire career, he's had to share the backcourt with him. McCollum at 26 years old is he's a three-level scorer, has shown the ability to run the pick and roll to run the offense when Damian Lillard is out, and they primarily run pick and roll there in Portland. I think it would be a perfect fit for Miami. I mean, they would have to move on from Goran Dragic and do things like that, but if we're talking about a guy who could become a legitimate superstar, I am all in on CJ McCollum's upside. I have owned McCollum's stock since Lehigh University. I am a big fan of him.
Aren't there concerns about his defense? Like he's obviously not a very good defender, and then he might be a little undersized as
still
well.
Okay, so with
if you're going to have him as your starting, okay, still you're willing to take.
There's just not a lot of point guards who are great on defense. I mean, there just aren't. And I look at a guy like Kyrie Irving and Steph Curry. They're not amazing. Like, Curry's gotten better, but like there's small point guards who aren't great defensively. But they've won championships, and I'm okay with that. And like I said, if you've got a guy like Josh Richardson who can play the two guard spot and take the more difficult defensive assignment away from McCollum, then you could start hiding McCollum or Kemba Walker, whoever it might be. I don't have a problem with it. I need a guy who can just run the offense and be my top scorer, and that has been Goran Dragic by default the last 2 years. But I think they just need a little bit more dynamite at that position. I just love McCollum's upside. I'm all in. All right. Well, that's all the we basically named how all the superstars are going to fit in Miami. But why didn't we see, speaking of superstars, Dion Waiters on the sidelines during the playoffs? We'll talk about that when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, let's keep answering some of these mailbag questions. Billy writes in, the Suns got the top pick and will likely take Luka Doncic. I don't know if it's likely, but it's possible. I think they will. So, suggestion. Miami trades Goran for a sign-and-trade for Elfrid Payton.
No.
Okay. Next question. maybe some draft picks. Love Dragic, like he's my favorite player. But him, Igor Kokoskov, and Luka Doncic will be such a fun team to watch. I agree with that, first of all. I think that would put eyeballs on Phoenix again, which would be fun.
Devin Booker, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a explosive, high offense, maybe 130 points per game kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, they could be really explosive.
Do we like the trade idea? We don't like Elfrid Payton. Can I throw, you put the kibosh on that. Can I propose a different trade to you for the Suns?
Yes.
Okay, and I think this is a good opportunity.
Okay, how about this? Let me, just for Billy's sake, let me say, Elfrid Payton is not a particularly good player. He's a terrible defender. He does not handle the pick and roll situations at all. As an offensive player, he's terrible. Has no 3-point range whatsoever. Finishes intermittently at the rim. He's not the kind of guy you can rely on or anything for anything. And if you see any kind of statistical evidence showing why he might be a good player, it's only because he has these ridiculous triple doubles towards the end of the season when his teams are out of the playoffs because of his poor play in between October and February. So no, Elfrid Payton on your team is not something you ever
would want. Would you call him Serge Ibaka with more hair?
A really nice guy. He's a really nice guy, unlike Serge, apparently. Alfred's a really nice guy, good personality, great around the community.
Not a good player.
Not a very good
player.
Yeah, not a very good player. And maybe he's young enough. Maybe he is, like we said, one of those reclamation projects. But
I'd rather have MCW. Goran Dragic, for TJ Warren, straight up. TJ Warren right now signed, or this last season, signed an extension. That extension is going to go into effect next year. He'll be making around $10 million. The Suns have the cap space that they can manage that deal straight up, or they could throw in another contract, you know, from like a fringe rotation player to make it work. But basically, it would be Gorin for TJ Warren straight up. Now, TJ Warren, not a great three-point shooter. Actually, not a good one at all. Doesn't take three-point shots. Doesn't try to pretend he is one. But a really good mid-range scorer. Has a tendency to get to his spot under the rim. He's a physical player. Not necessarily an incredible defender, but there could be room to improve there if you get out from Phoenix, which has basically had no coach for the last year and a half, to Miami. I think there's the upside there. And could, you know, he's big enough that he could maybe be your starting small forward, play small ball four for you a little bit in certain situations. And if you're Phoenix, like, if they take Doncic, they've got Jackson there already. Right. If they're looking to move on and maybe create some space there, TJ Warren's a really good opportunity, a really good candidate to move on from, especially since they just signed him to that extension. They might not be as hot as on that extension as they were before. So I propose it. Goran Dragic for TJ Warren?
There's possibility there. I mean, you're talking, he's probably a high-paid reclamation project, but he's a guy who definitely needs some fine-tuning, and he could certainly get that in Miami. I like that potential to take another step defensively, and he's an aggressive scorer, something you could definitely use on a team that lacked offensive punch for most of the year. I like it. I mean, again, it doesn't seem like you're getting a good, you know, invest a return on investment there for Goran. No draft picks would be included in this deal.
I think that Dragic for TJ Warren, the Suns are going to be like, well, he scored, you know, 19 points per game last season or whatever it was. They'll try to ride that. I'm looking at his stats right now. Yeah, 19.6 points per game, 5.1 rebounds, 1.3 assists per game, in 33 minutes a game. Shot 49.8% from the field. Like I said, doesn't really concern himself with three pointers. Only took about 1.5 per game. But I think if you could probably get a future draft pick out of him. Maybe you can get Miami's 2021 pick back. Say, hey, take your pick this year. Thanks for your services, Goran Dragic, but you can take him back now. Give us that 2020 pick and TJ Warren for Goran Dragic. That seems like a fair trade to me.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll work.
All right. Last question here. Thoughts on Dion? This comes from John H. Thoughts on Dion not coming to the regular season games/playoff series against Philly?
You know, it's not a good look, right? You expect that injured player you saw, you know, you've seen players there before. You saw Kyrie Irving there on the sidelines with Boston. I think it's at a player's discretion, and I think a team would probably want, you know, if they had an issue with it, they would certainly make sure that player was out there. We've had it reported that Dion is working with the team already after his surgery, so he's been behind the scenes working out, theoretically playing alongside his teammates as well, you know, in practices and in shoot-around sessions and things of that sort. So, you know, it's not like he's disconnected from the team, and I understand what John's concerns are that, you know, as a guy who's expected to play a major role as one of the potential leaders on this team, to have him absent from this team, you know, from the sidelines there during the playoffs is, you know, again, a glaring hole there. It's a bad look. But I don't think that there's any friction just yet. You know, I think Dion and his comments about Hassan Whiteside more recently show that he still has the pulse of this team, that he still wants that leadership role that I was talking about, and that he still feels a connection there to this group. I don't know that he's necessarily envisioning himself playing elsewhere or hoping to push for a trade or anything like that. Maybe there was some friction there with him in the front office. We've heard that Miami wanted to push him through that injury, and then Dion kind of wanted that surgery to take place earlier in the season, maybe, than Miami would have liked. So I don't doubt that there might be some issues, but I don't think it's nearly as extensive as it could be, and that we should read too much into him not sitting along the sideline.
Yeah, I just think this. I'm not concerned about this at all. Like, I just, where was he in his rehab process? Like, obviously, he's not going to be flying to Philly. This is a guy who had surgery on his leg. Miami doesn't want to risk, you know, they. Let's look at the Chris Bosh situation. I mean, what happened with him, with Bosh, when he was on a flight? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Hold on. I'll say this, though, to counteract that point, though. He's been traveling around. I've seen him in a number of different places. Like, he was on the ESPN's
that's
booth,
true.
I think,
yeah.
in L.A., and then he filmed something in Complex, too. Like he's been doing the rounds as a media type person. And I'll
that's fair, but that's also, like, up to Dion, right? I just don't know that the Heat are... you know, going out of their way to put him on a plane either.
Right.
But that still doesn't speak to why he wasn't there during home games. Again, is he better off going and just sitting in those uncomfortable chairs and just doing that and just sitting there as like a spectator or working on his rehab, resting at home, doing whatever it is he's doing? Like, I don't know what his whole rehab process is. I don't care if the guy's not on the sidelines. Like, it's Dion Waiters. This isn't like... I don't know how much moral support he can have. You know, this isn't like Steph Curry, who's on the sidelines for the Warriors when he's been dealing with an ankle injury that he didn't need surgery for, by the way. But, you know, having a guy like Curry there as a figurehead on the sidelines, there is a level of moral support there. I don't know how much it means to just have Dion Waiters there on the sideline. Love Dion Waiters, own property on Waiters Island, but I just don't know. I don't necessarily know that it's that important. I don't know that Dion Waiters is like, I wouldn't qualify him as one of those coaches on the sideline type players. You know what I mean? Like, so I just don't know what value he would have there. And in general, I just don't think it's a big deal. I'm not that concerned with it.
You're turning into quite the real estate mogul there. Waiters Island, Michael Carter Williams, Lily Pad. I mean, anywhere else that you think we should own property?
Well, that's a secret. I'm not going to let all the insider secrets out. I got to buy my property first and then I'll give you guys tips. Speaking of tips, going back to that question from Billy, that Dragic and TJ Warren trade, I'm going to include that on our Patreon page. We have an Excel document on there that Patreon supporters have access to. Currently, there's a lot of salary information there. I'm going to, and hopefully to by the time you hear this, I'll have a running list of all of our favorite hypothetical trades, and I think I'm going to include Goran and TJ Warren on there. What do you think, David? Does that deserve to make the list?
Sounds great. Yes, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, great. So it'll be on there, and you guys can find it by going to patreon.com/lockedonheat. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Send us your questions and comments by emailing us at lockedonheat@gmail.com or using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.